Welcome to Cinema Chop Shop. Watch, chop, retrofit.
Hello out there, we're on the air, it's Cinema Chop Shop tonight.
Alright, welcome to Cinema Chop Shop. Come on down, bring the kids, we've got entertainment for the whole family. Welcome to Cinema Chop Shop, this is a movie podcast that concedes that remakes are gonna happen, so why shouldn't movie buffs like us decide who is recast in those iconic roles? At this point I need to mention our online presence. We are on Twitter. We are at Cinema Chop Shop. We are on Facebook. We're facebook.com/CinemaChopShop. And then our email address, should you choose to send us an email, which would be awesome, is cinemachopshop@gmail.com. My name is Travis, and I will be your host, but also your on-ice official, because we are doing our hockey movies episode. The hockey season is in full swing, right?
Yes.
And I know of some people in this room who were very, very excited about doing a hockey episode. And I am joined, as always, here in the barn by our engineer, editor, producer extraordinaire, the Canadian in your brain again, it's Andrew Tay. Say hello to the listeners.
Hello, listeners. Hello, Travis.
Yes. And also, returning guest, we're very pleased to have him. He's a real goon. We've got Sean, the Bruiser Boss. He's here in the barn as well. And welcome back, sir.
How's it going, boys?
Indeed. And also, our second guest, please welcome to the show for the first time as a guest, it's Andrew Tay!
Hello, I'm here.
He is here indeed. And at this point, we're going to give you a further description of the concept of the show. You heard at the top, it's Watch, Chop, Retrofit, because that is what we do. We watch older movies, and we chop them up, and we retrofit them with new actors, contemporary actors for the older roles in those films. Sometimes they're classic films, sometimes they're iconic roles, but we might get a little bit loosey-goosey on that. So, welcome to the show, and put on your buckets, because we're going to do our energy drink check-in. We've got a couple of new ones here today. The first is NOS, which I think is the abbreviation for nitrous oxide, which is what you put like in a car to make it go really, really fast, right?
That's what the Fast and the Furious people told me.
Okay, yeah. It's too fast, too furious. And also, isn't that what dentists use? Isn't nitrous oxide also like laughing gas?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's an interesting choice of names for this energy drink. And it is, which one is the one that's bright neon green? Is that the other one?
The other one.
Okay, so this one is only slightly less neon green. It looks a little bit more, potable, a little bit more ingestible, but maybe not. I don't know. In terms of its flavor, neither of these energy drinks are sugar-free, so they're not going to be my favorite, but they are new ones that we've never checked in before. So NOS for the first one.
It's not bad. It's not great either, but it's not bad.
No,
it's drinkable.
I think it's kind of bland, actually.
Well, you poured it on top of water.
Oh, I poured it in the wrong glass. Let's try it from the right glass. Here we go.
Round two.
Oh, that's much better.
Oh, yeah.
I'm taking that one. I was like, actually, this does taste sugar-free. All right, and then the other energy drink is called Full Throttle Energy Drink. It's citrus flavored. It's naturally and artificial flavored. And it says what? What at the top?
Hardworking, easy drinking.
Oh, yeah!
A little bit too wrestlery, but we'll take it for our hockey episode. That'll do it for our energy drink check-in. Now it's time for the Department of Corrections Department. There's only one big one from the last episode, the Slasher Movies episode, and that was my pronunciation and probably just like misunderstanding of the name of the early Italian horror genre. that influenced the slasher film genre. And I, throughout the episode, and probably influenced other people on the show to say it wrong, I said Galeo, which is not right at all. It's not even a thing. The actual name of that genre is pronounced giallo. Giallo.
Wow.
Which is the Italian word for yellow. And I meant to look up why they called those movies yellow, but that's... that is the correction from the Department of Corrections Department. Unless you guys know of any other fuck-ups I made.
I'd lose a little something for next week.
Yeah, indeed. Indeed. I'm going to fuck up a lot tonight because I don't know shit about hockey, you guys. So that's the end of the Corrections Department. We already told you that the theme of the episode is hockey movies. And we're just going to do a little bit of fun, a little bit of fun and games real quick. Maybe like best of five. We're gonna.
I'm making a best of seven.
Best of
that's
seven,
right.
Eh?
Just like the
Stanley Cup.
Okay,
yeah.
So we'll make it a best of seven. But before we get into the actual trivia questions, I had a really fun time looking at hockey slang today, and I highlighted just a couple of ones. So ones that I haven't used already in my awesome vernacular. Biscuit.
Put the biscuit in the basket.
Biscuit for the puck. Also, a breakaway. Which could be used in all kinds of contexts. We've got a dangle, mm-hmm. which mm-hmm. is also called a deke.
Yep.
What is a deke?
It's when you when you're approaching either another player or the goal, and you drag the puck around a little bit behind you. You do some fancy moves to throw them off and. Navigate around them or bring down their defenses to score.
Understood.
And dangle, that's what the kids have been calling it.
So this is
a couple of years.
So this is more more contemporary.
Yeah.
Also,
older.
I like the descriptor filthy, mm-hmm. also used to describe an incredible deke or pass. Also, silky.
Mm-hmm.
Silky is
silky
a good
mitts.
One. Used to describe a smooth occurrence, such as a play or a player's hands.
Mm-hmm.
Which, that's just a few, but I thought that was really fun. All right, so getting into the trivia. We're going to go best of seven, right?
Sure. Yep.
All right, so I got to do a little tally here.
And we should point out right now, Sean is wearing a Pittsburgh Penguins jersey, and I'm wearing a San Jose Sharks jersey.
And I'm wearing...
Toronto Maple Leafs.
Toronto jersey. Maple Leafs. And I picked it because it's blue, and I like the color blue.
Very good choice.
Yeah.
But specifically, this is a Stanley Cup rematch right here.
Yeah.
Oh, the two of you? Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha. All right. So with this trivia, we should mention that Sean is a longtime hockey fan, and Andrew is a true blood, a young blood Canadian. So we're going to pit the two of you against each other for a best of seven. So first question. What infraction is a hockey referee calling if he clasps his wrist?
Holding.
Holding is correct. That's one for Andrew. This might be a game of quickness. All right. Who scored a record 10 hat tricks in an NHL season?
It has to be Wayne Gretzky.
Wayne Gretzky is correct. That's two for Andrew. All right. So that's 2-0, Sean. How are you feeling?
I'm sweating over here.
Are you in the sin bin?
Could be.
What NHL team plays in an arena called The Pond?
Anaheim.
Oh, that's one for Sean. So it's now 2-1, Andrew. And going with the next question, who won the only NHL MVP award not bagged by Wayne Gretzky in the 80s? It's a little bit tougher.
In the 80s?
In the 80s. Okay, so of all the MVP awards that were given out by the NHL in the 1980s, only one of them was not awarded to Wayne Gretzky, and it was awarded to this person.
Bossy?
Incorrect. Sean, you got
God,
you got
I was,
Sean go.
I would say Denny Potvin, but I don't think that's right
Both
either.
Both incorrect. Nobody loses a point. It is Mario Lemieux.
Yes.
All right.
The best.
And my wife will kill me for missing that one.
It is still 2-1 in favor of Andrew. Next question. Who was the first defenseman to win the NHL point scoring title?
Paul Coffey.
Incorrect.
Bobby Orr.
Bobby Orr is correct. So it's now 3 3-1 in favor of Andrew, which means he only needs one more point to take the best of seven. You understand how best of seven works. Final question. Let me just look at the few that I have. Well, maybe not the final question. Maybe not. Maybe I'm giving Andrew a little bit too much credit. Which means I should go ahead and pick one at random. Who is the first player to captain two different NHL championship teams? I'm hearing crickets on this one. So we're skipping to anybody? No. Anybody? All right. So the answer was Mark Messier.
Messier.
Yeah. Mark Messier. All right. So
that's really late.
Here we go.
I was thinking way back.
Ooh, this is a good one. What song did the U.S. hockey team forget the words to while celebrating a win over the Soviets at the 1980 Olympics?
The national anthem.
Unfortunately, that is incorrect.
It's been a while since I've seen Miracle. Is it We Are the Champions by Queen?
That is an amazing guess. It was actually God Bless America.
Oh.
All right. We're still going. You're both still alive. It's 3-1. Next question. Oh, this is a little bit... we got to skip that one. All right. What was Craig McTavish the last NHL player to play without?
Helmet.
Ooh, that's 2 for Sean and 3 for Andrew. Sean's coming back. He might still be in this. We got ourselves a barn burner. Next question. What do hockey wags dub the sin bin?
The penalty box.
Oh, that's 3 for Sean. We are tied. What do hockey wags dub the sin bin?
Like wives and girlfriends?
I don't know what wags are, but
those wives and girlfriends. Yeah. I think everybody calls it that.
Yeah. All right, so we're tied up.
All right.
This is literally the last question because you both have 3. Whoever gets this one wins, unless neither of you get it. All right. What infraction is a hockey referee calling if he waves his hand below his knees?
Tripping.
It went to Sean. He just got it fast enough.
USA! USA!
So this one is going to Age Before Beauty. Sean won. So he won that. And that will bring us to our next segment, which is the Midnight Double Feature. I have already professed not to be a huge hockey fan and am kind of ignorant of a lot of the, you know, finer details of the sport. But I do have a couple of picks that are hockey related. Mm-hmm. That being said, I want you guys to go first.
Okay.
Who's going?
After you, Mr. Winner.
All right. I'm going to go the comedy route.
Okay.
I'm going to go with Goon.
Uh-huh. The first Goon was Sean William Scott.
Yep, the first one was Sean William Scott and Jay Baruchel. I thought that was fantastic. Mm-hmm. And another comedy where hockey played a central plot role, Strange Brew.
That's great. I heard recently that Rick Moranis and Dave Thomas were going to reunite for charity as their characters from Strange Brew.
I would love to see that.
Yeah, that would be amazing, right? Yep. All right, so we got Goon and Strange Brew. Very good choices. Andrew?
Well, I went with the international hockey competition route. Uh-huh. The first one I already mentioned earlier. It's Miracle.
I'm writing it down before you finish saying it. Gotcha.
Starring Kurt Russell as Bert uh-huh. Brooks. And
yes.
Obviously the Miracle on Ice is a big moment for hockey in America.
Right.
It's a great movie. It's a little, obviously a little formulaic.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone kind of knows
but
the story.
But it's a true story.
It's a true story,
it
yeah.
Was, but it was the second film technically made about that event. The first was from 82, I believe, called The Miracle on Ice, made for TV. But continue, please.
My second film, it's another international hockey movie, but it's a bit of a less serious version. It's D2, the second
The Mighty Ducks,
Ducks
2. Right. Still with Emilio Sheen mm-hmm. in as the coach, but they changed things up a little bit in D2.
Yeah, what do they go and they play in like a youth tournament in LA, and they bring on some new kids to play on the team.
And gotcha.
They play against Iceland. Iceland is the villains. Iceland is not really much of a hockey country.
What did Iceland ever do to anybody?
Yeah, well, I guess you want like a... they have a badass coach and...
Okay.
It's, yeah. It's...
Geographically, they seem to be in like the right part of the world to be a hockey
country.
They have ice.
Yeah, but...
no Zambonis, though, so it's out the window. Mm-hmm. All right, so we got Miracle from 2004 and D2, The Mighty Ducks. I am so happy that neither of you picked my two picks, because like I said, I went with two hockey tangentially related movies. The first is The Cutting Edge from 1992. Mark's, sorry, not Mark, Sean. This is Sean in the shop, in the barn today. he's giving me the thumbs down because he does not like this movie, but... when it came out in 1992, I was 12 years old, and I lived in a very remote part of the country. We lived in, like, rural New Mexico. And my only form of, like, video entertainment was VHS rentals, like, once a week. And so that was one that I got to see, and I really enjoyed. D.B. Sweeney and Moira Kelly. Mm-hmm. Moira Kelly.
Moira.
From 1992, directed by Paul Michael Glazer.
Oh, yeah.
And it has a 60% on Rotten Tomatoes. He also went on to direct in 1996 the Shaquille O'Neal classic Kazam.
Yes.
Also, he directed The Air Up There, basketball movie, and The Running Man in 1992, same year as The Cutting Edge, The Running Man with Arnold. All right, so the tying theme here, the tie that binds is... kind of hockey players who have to go and do a different athletic activity, and it's kind of a fish out of water story, and I'm going with Happy Gilmore. So Happy Gilmore is obviously starring Adam Sandler. It's his second big movie after Billy Madison. It was directed by a guy named Dennis Dugan, who has directed at least 7 Adam Sandler movies. I'm not saying that's a good thing. He's done some bad ones. But Happy Gilmore does maintain a 60% on Rotten Tomatoes. Came out in 1996. And so obviously Adam Sandler is a aspiring hockey player who has an amazing slap shot, but can't really skate very well. So ends up going to play golf. Okay. So those are my two hockey related movies
for a double feature.
All right. So we've gone through the midnight double feature, which brings us to the first part of our feature segment, which is the recast. And the first movie, who wants to introduce this one? It's from 1986. Whose pick was this?
I think.
Okay, so what is it? Tell us.
It's Youngblood.
Youngblood from 1986. Not to be confused with a movie from 1977, which was about race riots and basketball. I started watching that one by
accident. How long did it take you to realize you were watching the wrong movie?
Probably a solid 4 or 5 minutes. But I was also like doing other things. I'm like, huh, this isn't the right movie. There's not any hockey going on here. Don't confuse this movie with 1977's Youngblood, although I'm sure that's a perfectly fine film on its own. This one was directed by Peter Markell, though, who also did a not great movie, but a movie featuring a Canadian icon. He actually died during this movie. The movie I'm talking about is called Wagons East. Starring John Candy in like an anti-Western migration story. He also did a 9/11 movie called Flight 93 from 2006. And beyond that, he's done a lot of TV. He's done X-Files episodes. He's done CSI. And he's got a more recent show called Everwood, which I'm not very familiar with, but it sounds like it's something that people are talking about. So, we're only doing 3 roles in this. The top build cast, we have Rob Lowe as Dean Youngblood. We also have Patrick Swayze as Derek Sutton. And then we have Dean's girlfriend, Cynthia Gibb, as Jessie Chadwick. Jessie Chadwick is the character name.
And she is the coach's daughter.
That's true. That's so true. That
an extra layer to the story.
Yeah, it plays a role in the plot. So I want to go first because I'm afraid you guys have picked the same person as me for the Rob Lowe character, but I'm not going to because this is your guys' hockey episode. It's you guys' hockey episode, and I'm the on-the-ice referee, so I will go last.
Okay.
All right? You went first in the last round or in the last segment, so Andrew, who do you have as Dean Youngblood?
Well, for my picks today, the main criteria I wanted was I want actors who could play hockey.
Uh-huh.
When they made this movie, Rob Lowe and Patrick Swayze didn't know how to play hockey.
They couldn't. They could barely skate, right?
They had doubles for everything, and you can tell in the movie they don't really show their faces very often. I think it's a flaw in the movie. I did some research about like Miracle and other hockey films, and there seems to be two schools of thoughts. Either you teach actors how to play hockey or teach hockey players how to act.
Right.
And the second one is a little easier. So,
okay. So that happens in a few of these hockey movies where a lot of the cast are actual hockey players.
Yeah. Yeah. But for Youngblood, it needs to be someone who can carry that role. Mm-hmm. So I thought, where can you find teenage actors in Canada? I went to Degrassi.
Ah, the original or the new school?
The new one. It's the
Wait,
next
there's
generation.
A new new
yeah,
one.
Yeah, there's a third, there's like a fourth iteration.
Well, this show's been going on forever.
Oh yeah, the show's been on since a long, long time. But I picked an actor. His name is Demetrius Joyet.
I'm
getting a picture of him now for you to see.
Ah,
He's
Is he their new Drake?
No.
Because didn't Drake start on Degrassi? Degrassi.
He did.
I'm already mispronouncing.
He did. He is. He's not white, and that's why I wanted for this role. I wanted to, because Youngblood, he bases a lot of like hazing and bullying from his teammates and from the opposing teams, and I think having there be he looks different as well.
Speaking of hazing, what was up with that locker room ball shaving scene?
Yeah.
That's a weird hazing ritual.
They didn't shave your balls in high school?
Oh my god, no.
I thought everybody got that.
Well, to be fair, I didn't get hair on my balls till after high school. But anyway.
Yes, Demetrius Joyet, he's been in Degrassi, obviously. He was in the recent remake of Carrie as well.
Ah, speaking of remakes, which we're not in favor of.
And he knows how to play hockey. So
he actually knows how to play hockey. All right, that's good. That was part of your criteria.
On his IMDb page, it says he likes to play hockey, so I feel like he knows how to hold a stick. He was the captain of the Degrassi hockey team on the show, so he's familiar with it. I think he can,
do it. That's got to count for something. All right, I like it. Moving along to Sean, who you got?
I'm going to say a couple of things real quickly about Youngblood.
The movie itself. We should probably describe the movie itself more.
He is he's like around Buffalo, New York. He's an American who chooses to go play junior hockey in Canada.
Right.
And one thing that some listeners may not...
Does he choose to, or is that his only shot?
Oh, there are options.
Okay.
That's what I was going to say is a lot of people who aren't familiar with hockey may not know this. Junior hockey in Canada... It's not like in America where you graduate high school and you go to college and you play. It's more like minor leagues meet boarding school.
Oh, okay. So there's no academics.
These kids
involved.
Choose to go play hockey as a development, but they're playing away from home and they're living with a host family.
Ah.
And so it's a big life choice that they make to do this, and it's kind of like a high risk, high reward kind of thing. And one of the funniest parts of the movie was that he was staying in the boarding house of Miss McGill. And did you watch the film?
Yes.
She was hot. And she you know, initiated all of her new tenants by having tea with them. And she went to town on him.
Gotcha.
So anyway, I don't know of any modern junior hockey players who have that luxury. But anyway... So I went with, for Dean Youngblood, I took the opposite approach. I went all actors. I chose KJ Apa. I'm sure I'm butchering his
name. KJ Apa sounds right.
He is Archie on Riverdale.
Oh, okay. I've heard good things about Riverdale. I haven't seen it yet, but I want to check it out.
He's 20 years old, a good square jaw guy. And, Rob Lowe was just a good looking fella.
Tell me how you really feel. I think that Rob Lowe has gotten more handsome over time.
Like, I think he has too.
Somehow he's become like more distinguished and less creepy.
Yep.
Okay, so Archie from Riverdale, tell me his name one more time.
KJ Apa.
KJ Apa. Okay, I gotcha. All right, so I definitely did not pick an actual hockey player because I did not think about that, but I did pick somebody who has struck me recently as having a very Rob Lowe quality, and his name is Dacre Montgomery.
Oh, gosh.
And he plays Billy Hargrove on Stranger Things. He is the...
villain!
Well, I'm only up to episode 3, so don't spoil anything for me, but he is the older brother of Max, the new girl in the party.
I think he looks like a young
Casey Affleck.
Yeah, Casey Affleck's good. I was also thinking of Iron Man.
Oh, a little bit of a Rob Lowe or Robert Downey Jr.
Robert Downey Jr. Okay, back in the weird science days.
They all kind of have the same quality going on, except for Casey Affleck, who's much younger than the previous two people we mentioned. But that's my pick, is Dacre Montgomery. If I'm saying it wrong, sorry, Dacre. So we've all gone on that one. We're going with the next role, which is the mentor to Dean Youngblood. Is he the captain of the team?
Yeah, I think
he's kind of the elder statesman of the team.
Yeah, he's a leader.
His name is Derek Sutton, and he was portrayed by Patrick Swayze, who was 34 at the time, compared to Rob Lowe's 22.
Mm-hmm.
So let's go the opposite direction this time. Sean, you go first.
Sure. I picked somebody who looks like he would fit the part, and he hasn't done a whole lot lately.
Mm-hmm.
I say that, and I'm looking at his post-production stuff we haven't heard about. But he's been in a TV series called Still the King.
Okay, so what is that?
Lloyd Danderson is his character. I have no idea.
Still the King.
Yep, but he was in a couple of episodes of Girl Meets World as Thor.
What? That's very
And when you see his picture, you'll understand why. But he's done a lot of television.
Does he have long blonde hair?
His name is Luke Benward, and I think he could do the Patrick Swayze
thing. Yeah, he could definitely pull off a Patrick Swayze. For sure. All right, sounds good. Andrew, who you got?
It's funny you mentioned Thor, because I picked an actor who's on the show Vikings.
Okay.
Younger Canadian actor. His name is Alexander Ludwig.
Okay. Is he the main guy on Vikings?
He plays...
He's like the...
Bjorn.
He's like a slightly secondary character.
Okay.
Yeah. I've only seen a few episodes of that show, but I like what I've seen.
Yeah.
Michelle's a big fan of that show.
And he was also Cato on the first Hunger Games.
Gotcha.
Okay.
In an older role now, but
did he only stay on the couch and not pay rent? It's a nice Cato Kalin reference for all of our younger listeners.
Okay. In my head, but I think he's
and
got
our younger
that,
guests.
He's got that like, I don't know, kind of Patrick Swayze.
Yeah, he's got some Swayze. Yeah,
to him.
Definitely.
He can kind of project that kind of masculinity needed for a hockey player, all the shots of them like doing shots at the bar and getting fights and stuff. Like, I think I could see him doing that.
Like, he looks a little bit like a soccer hooligan. Is he British?
Yeah. No, he's Canadian.
He's Canadian. Okay, gotcha. You went with another Canadian. Keeping it true blue. All right. So, anything else you want to mention about your pick there?
No.
All right. So mine is much less intriguing than either of yours. I went with a guy who's impressed me recently with his acting ability. He is British and probably could be a soccer hooligan. I guess I'm just thinking about my own stuff. I went with Taron Egerton, who's Eggsy in Kingsman.
Oh, okay.
The Golden Circle and the first Kingsman movie. He's also Eddie in Eddie the Eagle about the...
The ski jumper.
Yeah, the ski jumper from somewhere.
He was...
The first ski jumper from his country, and he was very bad at it, but he just was so persistent. Really
good story.
Yeah, really good story. And he played out of his normal typecast, I think, because normally he's kind of suave and debonair. But in Eddie the Eagle, he was very much like Coke bottle glasses, bull in a china shop type. So, yeah, I'm going with Taron Egerton, which brings us to our third and final role for Youngblood, which is the girlfriend of Dean Youngblood and the daughter of their coach, right?
Mm-hmm.
And her name in the movie was Jessie Chadwick, and she was portrayed by Cynthia Gibb, who was 23 at the time. And Andrew's going to go first on this one.
Well, as regular listeners of the show know, we have our favorites, and mm-hmm. one of ours is Riverdale. So, Betty, I believe, from Riverdale. Lily Reinhart is my pick.
Okay.
I thought she had a little similarity.
Oh, yeah, I can see it.
Mm-hmm. It really Show is not again. A... this part's not the...
It's kind of a minor role. You're right, and... You know, sometimes that happens with these older films. A lot of times the female characters don't have as substantial a role as they should. But I am attempting to be ecumenical in the recasting. I want to try and include as many female actors as I can in the recast.
You want this podcast to pass the
Bechdel test. Yeah. Exactly. So... Anything else you want to say for your Jessie Chadwick?
No, I just think she's an attractive lady, and that's kind of what they were going for with the original casting, so I thought, don't change that.
Gotcha.
I don't know.
No, that's fine. All right, Sean, what have you got?
I went with someone who I thought was fantastic in Miss Peregrine's Home for Peculiar Children.
Yeah.
She played Emma, the very ethereal blonde chick. Her name's Ella Purnell. She's not really blonde.
Now, is she the one who floats?
Yes.
Okay.
She's
very pretty. Oh, she's gorgeous.
She is very 21. So.
Oh, that's just the right age.
For anyone who hasn't seen Youngblood, that role calls for lots of nudity.
Okay, yeah. If Hillary was here, she would give us a booby count, but she's not. So I went with another 21-year-old actress. Someone who our listeners might know from a show called Pretty Little Liars, and her name is Sasha Peterse, and I'm pretty sure I'm saying that right, if I understand, like, accent marks in pronunciation
guides. That works.
She's my pick for the role of Cynthia Gibb, the role of Jessie Chadwick, originally portrayed by Cynthia Gibb. So unless anybody has any more
things... We need to talk about the worst, best performance in this movie, and that is Keanu Reeves.
Oh, as the goalie!
As the French-Canadian goaltender, his second role.
It's only his second appearance in a feature film.
This is one of my favorite things about looking at these kind of old movies, is seeing well-known actors before they were famous.
Yeah.
And, the accent work by Keanu in this movie.
Was it bad?
It's terrible.
It was real bad. I mean, like, I'll give him the benefit of the doubt, and he's obviously... come a long way, and he was a hockey player, so he was filling that role.
Yeah,
the right way.
I don't think that Keanu is really known for his accents throughout his
career.
So I
give him a pass, but
you're right.
It's cool to see him kind of before he was famous in this role.
And so it was his second film. The first one was a movie called One Step Away from 1985, the previous year. But I've never seen that film.
Next week on Cinema Chop Shop.
It's going to be all hockey movies all the time now. I've given them an inch. They're going to take it away with a breakaway.
Ooh,
nice. Right into the intermission. All right, Cinema Chop Shoppers, this is your host Travis, just chiming in here at the intermission to remind you to please rate, review, and subscribe to us on iTunes. We appreciate the feedback, and any review is a good review. Also, you can get in touch with us on Twitter. We are at Cinema Chop Shop on Twitter. We're on Facebook. It's facebook.com/cinemachopshop. And our email address is cinemachopshop@gmail.com. If you want to send us an email, give us some suggestions for themes for future episodes. I have about a year's worth planned out, but you're more than welcome to offer advice, and I'm open to suggestions as well. And as always, thank you for listening, and remember to watch, chop, retrofit. All right, well, welcome back from the intermission, and I'm super pleased to find out that that's actually what they call the break between periods in a hockey movie, in a hockey game. Hockey match? Hockey game is the intermission. And we are coming right back at you with a beer check-in in the only Canadian beer that I could find in our small southern town is Labatt Blue. So it is a Canadian Pilsner. Sean is not a fan.
It's all right.
It's all right. It's about the most praise you can give to it. But I'm interested to know about like the Canadian perspective on Labatt. So is it like a college party beer?
Yeah, it's like a Coors or or like a Bud.
Like a Scudweiser?
Yeah, just like your kind of regular off-the-shelf kind of beer. It's nothing fancy.
Yeah, it is very much a session Pilsner. There's not a lot of body or flavor to it. It's but it does wet your whistle, for sure. All right, so with that, we will... actually, I'm going to turn the table over to Sean for a little shout out.
Yeah, we're going to give a shout out to one of our listeners in Lexington, Kentucky.
Indeed.
Dana is a big fan of the show, and she knew we were recording the hockey episode tonight. So in honor of that, she wore a very funny, cool, cute hockey t-shirt to work today.
Nice.
So,
and she took a picture and sent it.
So yeah. Hats off to her, and...
That's awesome. Glad. Tell me her name again.
Dana.
Dana. Shout out to Dana. We love our listeners. That is great. Okay, so real quickly, I'm going to do everyone's favorite segment. It's the one that nobody grows impatient with. It's my 2017 movie marathon. We are on the 307th day of the year, and I'm only up to numbers 284. So I'm about... 23 films behind the date if I was to be watching a movie every day, but Christmas break is coming up. That's pretty sweet. All right, so I'm not going to mention the two most recent ones because those are the films we're talking about today. I'm going to do the five prior to that. Number 282 was a movie called Brigsby Bear. It's with the Mooney guy from Saturday Night Live, Kyle Mooney, and it's directed by one of his cohorts from a comedy troupe he was in prior to SNL called Good Neighbor. And real quick, the gist of the movie is this guy is raised in an underground house and he's disconnected from the outside world. The only connection he has to the outside world is this television program, like a kids program, called Brigsby Bear. You find out, this is not a spoiler, but you find out that his parents are not his real parents, and that show is not a real show. They made it to entertain him, but he's obsessed with it and goes on to make a movie about Brigsby Bear. So it's a movie within a movie, really funny, but also kind of heartwarming as well. Last night, went to the theater for the early premiere of Thor Ragnarok, one of the best Marvel movies I've seen recently. In terms of action combined with humor, it's up there with Guardians of the Galaxy. Really entertaining film. Prior to that, a little bit less of a successful sci-fi movie. Number 280 was Valerian and the City of 1,000 Planets. It felt like 10,000 from 2017. It's a movie by Luc Besson, who did The Fifth Element. So this is no Fifth Element, but it is a fun sci-fi.
You liked it?
I enjoyed it for what it was, but if you are a fan of The Fifth Element and you're expecting it to be on that level, you will be disappointed. Then I watched, prior to that, number 279 was a movie called House of Evil, and I watched this on Halloween. It was a horror pick to finish out the month of October. Well, it started out with potential. It's a couple moves into a small town and buys a house, and it turns out to be haunted. And it had potential, but then it kind of just turns into a Rosemary's Baby ripoff. So I was disappointed in that. And then the last one that I'll mention is number 278, a movie called Jungle with Daniel Radcliffe about a Israeli explorer who goes to Bolivia in the 1980s. So that was interesting. And Daniel Radcliffe has been showing tremendous chops in his post-Harry Potter career.
Farting zombie movie.
Yeah, that was good. Swiss Army Man. Yeah. Yeah, this wasn't as, I guess, disturbing as that, but it was good. He showed some range, mm-hmm. for sure.
He's a good guy and a hockey fan.
Is he?
Yeah.
All right. Well, that will bring us to the second movie in our recast. It's kind of the go-to in terms of classic hockey movies.
Mm-hmm. Classic sports movies, even.
Yeah. And you want to go ahead and tell us what it is?
Slapshot.
From 1977. It was directed by a man named George Roy Hill, and it has an 83% on Rotten Tomatoes. George Roy Hill had a professional association with Paul Newman. He directed Butch and Sundance, Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid. He also directed The Sting in 1973. But then a couple of other movies, besides those three Paul Newman movies that he did, one is The World According to Garp from 1982, of course, Robin Williams. And then one of my childhood favorite comedies, the Chevy Chase classic from 1988, Funny Farm. He directed that.
Was that the one where the dog ran off at the minute they got there?
Yes, yes. That is one of the many hilarious gags in that movie. Love that movie. All right, so the top billed cast, we've got four in this one. Okay, so the leading role is, of course, portrayed by Paul Newman as Reggie Reg Dunlop. He was 52 at the time. And the next role is Joe McGrath, who was portrayed by Strother Martin, who was 58 at the time. And then we've got Ned Braden, who was portrayed by, this is going to be one that I mess up, Michael Ontkin? We'll talk about where he's from in a minute. And then the lone female that we're recasting is Jennifer Warren, who was the wife of Paul Newman's character, Reg. All right. So I'm still not going first.
I'm going to go first.
He's going first. Yes.
I've been fired up about this pick.
Yes.
From the very beginning. It's another hockey player.
Okay.
Someone who has played a role that I think is very similar to the mm-hmm. role of Reg Dunlop. You see Reg Dunlop, he is leading man and character actor at the same time. Mm-hmm. He's funny, but he's also kind of driving the bus on the show.
The player coach.
Yes.
Right?
Player mm-hmm. coach. He's got this great supporting cast around him of all these weird and crazy, vulgar hockey players. And so I thought of an actor who can play hockey who is well known for being the leading man on a show with a strong supporting cast.
Mm-hmm.
Who plays a character who, like Reg Dunlop, he kind of lacks that self-awareness. He's a little goofy. It's Steve Carell.
Oh, yeah. Michael Scott from The Office.
He is right about the same age as Paul Newman. He's got that silver fox look that we all love. He knows how to play hockey.
Did he?
Yeah, he played back in his college days for Denison University in Ohio.
Okay. Very nice.
I think that's been in my brain since we picked Slapshot, is that Steve Carell would make it.
I would like to see him do that, because he's become a bit of a chameleon.
Yeah, he's been in his post-Office career. He's done some more dramatic things. Mm-hmm. We've talked a little bit about it, his role in Foxcatcher. And of course, there was Little Miss Sunshine that wasn't post office, but still, really, really a not just a comedic presence. Although this movie does require a bit of a comedic presence. It's maybe to get a little bit into the plot of the film. It's kind of parodying the physicality that's required in hockey. Right?
Oh yeah, like this movie is called Slapshot, but mm-hmm. it should be called Slapstick, because it's lots of
very nice
hockey violence for
more like effect. Slap dick, right? No, that's a joke from the other day. My bad. All right, so yeah, it does. It kind of parodies the idea that you have to be a very physical person, especially in the game of hockey.
Mm-hmm.
So Who you got, Sean?
All right. My pick is age appropriate. He's 51, I think.
And Paul Newman was 52 at the time.
Right. Yeah. He has played athletic roles before. He's a leading man. And his grandfather was the premier of Saskatchewan. He's got Canada running through his veins, although he wasn't born in Canada. It's Kiefer Sutherland.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. You threw me off when you said the premiere of Saskatchewan. I was like, because I'm in movie mode. I'm like, there's a movie called Saskatchewan.
Nope. The government
was the premiere.
No, his grandfather was Tommy Douglas.
Is that like the governor?
Yeah.
Because Saskatchewan is a province.
Right.
And so the version of a provincial governor is the premier. Okay.
Yes.
I'm learning so much today. All right, so it's my turn.
Mm-hmm.
So for the role of Reg Dunlop, the player coach, I went with somebody. He's not quite 52. He's 47 now, but he does have some dreamy blue eyes, and he's kind of an older actor who's still trying to be cool. I went with McConaughey.
All right.
Matthew
all
right. McConaughey.
Nice.
All right, all right, all right. He's going to be my my Reg Dunlop. And I don't think I really need to say anything else. I think it's justified in its own right.
It's a good pick.
All right. So next role, we've got Joe McGrath, who is the owner?
General manager.
The general manager of the team. And he's a real hard ass. You might remember him also from Butch and Sundance. He was in that film. And then in Cool Hand Luke, he delivers the famous, "What we have here is a failure to communicate" line. Another Paul Newman movie, Cool Hand Luke. He was also in The Wild Bunch. So Strother Martin, 58 at the time, plays Joe McGrath. And Sean, you're going first.
All right. I went with somebody who's probably a little bit older than 58.
Mm-hmm.
I did like that part because he spent the whole movie with the charade that, you know, he's going to keep things going and, you know, mm-hmm. just stuff in the team. But I went with, I'm going to butcher this last name. It's either Richard Reel or Richard Riley. And you'll know him from the movie Office Space. He played Tom Smikowski, the inventor of the jump to conclusion
mat. Oh, wow. Okay. All right. I can see him in my head right now. Big, like, Wilford Brimley mustache.
Yeah, big mustache, big smile. And I will tell you what, man, this guy is active.
Okay.
I mean, he is in every
major character actor.
Yeah, he's like in every TV show, every project, every small film that you could imagine as just a supporting cast member. And I had no idea this guy was still just chugging out films.
Now, for the listeners, Sean is holding several pages of IMDb credits for this actor. It's quite the list.
Yeah, it's like a dossier.
Yeah. So I like that pick because that's a cool character, and I think he would do it.
Yeah, he would. It's a jump to conclusions, Matt. Yeah. All right, I like it. All right, Andrew, you're up. What do you got?
Well, I was thinking about Joe McGrath. He's almost like a Scooby-Doo villain. He's very over the top. And so I wanted someone who could bring that intensity when needed, but could also be a more kind of a cunning, manipulative kind of guy. So I picked Alec Baldwin. But I think he could be that kind of cool businessman who's trying to screw you over.
Speaking of Baldwins, his brother Steven was in Slapshot 2. One of two sequels to this movie, neither of which should have been made, probably,
yes.
Right?
Agreed.
Okay, so is it on me?
Yep.
For Joe McGrath, portrayed by Strother Martin originally, I'm going with Dennis Quaid.
Nice.
Dennis Quaid is a little bit older. He's a little bit older than that now, which is hard for me to believe, but Dennis Quaid is 63, you guys. And so he's approaching that elder statesman, kind of grizzled, could be the disgruntled manager who's just pissed off, why can't these clowns get it together type of guy. So, yeah, we don't have to tell anybody who Dennis Quaid is. Oh, but going back to Strother Martin, the that quote from Cool Hand Luke is the number 11 quote from AFI's 100 Quotes, 100 Years list. Very, very memorable quote there. All right, so are we done with Joe McGrath?
Yes.
I think so.
All right, moving it on to the role of Ned Braden, Ned Braden was originally portrayed by Michael Ontkin, or Ontkin. Sorry if I'm mispronouncing that, but if you are not a fan of hockey or hockey movies and you haven't seen Slapshot, you're definitely going to recognize this guy as Sheriff Harry S. Truman on Twin Peaks.
Yes.
As soon as I saw him in the movie, and he's got like a getting naked on the ice scene in this movie, but as soon as I saw his face, I was like, whoa, Twin Peaks, Harry S. Truman. So it's going to go to Andrew first for the role of Ned Braden, and tell the listeners a little bit about the character, the Ned Braden character in the movie.
Well, the character is, shortly after he's introduced, I believe it's a GM, McGrath, he says he's an American citizen and he's college educated, which at the time was very rare for a hockey player to be both of those things. He's a Princeton grad, I believe.
Okay.
Yeah.
He doesn't do the fighting that the rest of the team embraces.
So he's a clean player.
Yeah.
Pussy.
He's more of a skilled player. I wouldn't say that.
Wait, I gotta find a good term for that.
In the spirit of the movie,
of course.
Yes. He might lose his chiclets.
You sound like Borat doing those, yes, man. Yes. Very nice.
Well, hockey is my foreign language.
I know,
tonight.
Right? Yeah.
And so yeah, he's kind of the straight man of the movie. All of the other oddball characters around him on the team kind of contrast to them.
Uh-huh.
And so naturally, I wanted a hockey player because he's like the best player on the team. And I went back to the Degrassi well.
Uh-huh.
And my pick is Luke Bielik.
Luke Bielik. Okay.
I believe that's how you say it. He played Drew Torres on Degrassi. He was kind of the... I know that's a show with an ensemble cast, but he was kind of right in the thick of it for a little bit.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
He's got that kind of classic... well, not gonna, and he's Canadian, so I can't say all-American, but
right,
very wholesome.
He's got that all-Canadian look.
Yeah. Very wholesome, good-looking guy. Trying to research his character, I found all kinds of very, very passionately written internet comments about people with strong opinions about the romantic escapades of his character on Degrassi. So he's someone who is in a lot of people's thoughts and feelings.
He's in the zeitgeist.
Oh, definitely.
Gotcha. All right. And Sean, who's your pick?
The guy I picked, actually, I didn't realize it at the time. You either know him from the Avengers, Captain America, Marvel movies as Quicksilver / Pietro Maximoff, or you know him from Kick-Ass as Dave Lazowski. It's Aaron Taylor Johnson.
Okay,
I had no idea he was the main guy from Kick-Ass when I saw him in Marvel's The Avengers.
So he's the main guy in Kick-Ass? He's Kick-Ass?
Yeah, he's the little...
well, he doesn't look so little anymore.
He's the unnoticed high school student and comic book fan who one day decides to become a superhero.
Well, that's him right there?
Yeah.
He's all growed up.
He is all growed up, and I think that this guy could do it, man. He's got some athleticism. He's got the body for it. And yeah, let's teach him how to play some hockey.
Might as well. You're going with the teach actors how to play hockey as opposed to teach hockey players how to act approach.
Yes.
All right. So I'm probably going to have to go with that approach as well because I picked an actor who I just kind of looked at our original actor's face. And also, my pick is named Michael. His first name's Michael as well, so that's a bonus right there. But his name is Michael Angerano, pictured here. He's been in a few things, Sky High, Red State, and Almost Famous. But he had a pretty small role in Almost Famous. He was the young William in Almost Famous. But I saw him most recently in a movie called The Stanford Prison Experiment, which is... a historical drama about the actual events at the Stanford Prison Experiment.
It's dark stuff.
Yeah, it is. It is. Not as dark as some of the shit that goes on in the barn in these hockey movies, man. there's some messed up stuff. All right, so that brings us to our final role for the second movie, right? Which is the wife of Reg Dunlop. Her name is Francine Dunlop, and she was portrayed by a woman named Jennifer Warren, who was 36 at the time. And
typical Hollywood executive.
Jesus, big little, 52, married to 36. Makes sense to me.
Fantasy action going on there. Shady character.
I mean, Paul Newman was still trying to play younger than his age, though. So, but maybe his character might have been, maybe not 52. I don't think his character was 52.
Well, I mean, a 52-year-old wouldn't be playing minor league hockey.
At all.
It's just too much wear and tear on the body.
Yeah.
Only the great Gordie Howe into his 50s.
No cartilage left after that.
Yeah.
All right, so Sean, you're going first for the role of Francine Dunlop,
sure.
The wife.
I made mine pick more age-appropriate to the actor playing the lead role, so I went with Connie Britton.
Okay, yeah. Connie Britton is on American Horror Story. She's also on the show Nashville. What movies has she been in?
She was in Friday Night Lights.
Okay, nice. Also, Me, Earl, and the Dying Girl. I like that movie a lot.
She, I think she's funny, she's charming, and she reminds me a lot of the original actress from the film.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So that's why I made that.
Very nice. Very nice. That's how I'm going to say all my hockey terminology now,
too.
Do it. Like a pigeon.
They play hockey biscuit. In Kazakhstan. I'm sure Borat's taking in a game.
Okay. It would have to be indoor, though, right?
Mm-hmm.
So Andrew is going with his role for Francine Dunlop.
Yes.
What do you got?
Similar to Sean, I went with an actress who is about the same age as my Reg Dunlop, and I picked Elizabeth Shue.
Oh, nice!
Oh, yeah.
Interesting little reason why I picked it is Elizabeth Shue and Steve Carell play a husband and wife in the film Battle of the Sexes. About the
new one about tennis. Yes.
Yeah. Was it King and Riggs? Were the two?
Billie Jean King and somebody Riggs.
Yeah. So she plays.
It's I think
Riggs.
It's Detective Riggs from Lethal Weapon.
Yeah. So Steve Carell plays the kind of Texas gambling tennis man, and Elizabeth Shue is his lovely wife, and
Emma Stone is Billie Jean King, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah. My Chop Shop favorite, Emma Stone.
I want to see that movie, and as does Michelle. Okay. Any other comments
about the movie,
about that actress? Your pick?
No, it's just kind of based on again the resemblance, and obviously Elizabeth Shue's a great actor, so she can. I'm sure pull off
she's
that
great.
Role, any role.
I wonder how old Elizabeth Shue is now. She could probably play closer to an appropriate age.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
There wouldn't
was,
be as much
my...
of an age gap between her and Steve Carell mm-hmm. as there was between Jennifer Warren and Paul Newman. Just a real quick couple of details about Jennifer Warren. She was in Night Moves in 1975 with Gene Hackman, and she was also in a movie called Ice Castles, about ice skating, but a different kind of ice skating. All right, so my pick is a girl named Kate Mara.
Love Kate Mara.
Kate Mara, a.k.a. Kate Rooney Mara, not to be confused with her sister who goes by the name of Rooney Mara, but that's both of their middle name. Okay, so one is named Catherine Rooney Mara, and the other one is like Elizabeth Rooney Mara, and one of them goes by Rooney. But you would know her from House of Cards, of course. She also had a small role on 24. She's in the movie The Martian, and she's 34 now as opposed to Jennifer Warren's 36. So I went a little bit younger instead of a little bit older.
You perv.
But the 34 is more proportionate to Matthew McConaughey's 47.
Okay.
All right. So that is going to conclude the...
I think we have a bit of trivia we want to bring up.
Yes.
You know,
not trivia contest, but
No.
Minutia.
So Slapshot, of course. A lot of hockey scenes. They used real-life minor league hockey players to be the extras. And one of those extras went on to have a pretty well-known coaching career. It's Minnesota Wild head coach Bruce Boudreau.
Ah.
His appearance in the film. Also, I want to talk real quick about the Hansen brothers.
I wanted to recast them with the Hansen brothers from 1990s.
The band Hansen.
The band Hansen. Mbop, mbop,
boom, bop, boom, bop. They're making a comeback, aren't they?
Nope.
Okay, never mind. Because I was thinking...
The comeback that they're making is in our hypothetical recast of the movie Slapshot as the Hansen brothers. There's three of them.
Yeah?
They've got long hair. So tell us about the real Hansen brothers.
Well, I was just like hoping we could throw out some names for those, not official picks, but I know there's a good amount of like funny like independent Canadian content comedy stuff about hockey players.
Right.
There's a YouTube series called On the Bench, and they're these two guys from Calgary, and they're these kind of dorky, goofy hockey players who care more about the celebrations and the lingo.
The Sellies.
Yeah, the Sellies. Beautiful. And those two guys could maybe not be as destructive as the Hansen brothers, but they could bring a little modern, bring some nods to hockey fans. I think if you're going to remake a hockey movie like Slapshot, you need to just every hockey celebrity has to be in there. You want to have someone like Jeff Merrick, someone who the fans recognize.
Of course, they
recognizable would. Players, PK Subban, Connor McDavid, some of the guys who are.
Really
more,
well known.
Yeah, but as we mentioned this off mic, that hockey players tend to be pretty reserved, despite
the physicality and the aggressiveness of the sport.
And also the colorfulness of the slang that we've been going through.
And the vernacular.
Another pick was Mr. Biz Nasty himself, Paul Bissonnette.
Biz Nasty?
Yes. Over a million Twitter followers.
Yeah.
Oh.
He's now retired from hockey.
Is his Twitter name at Biz Nasty?
Oh, it's Biz Nasty.
Because if it's not, that's
it's Biz Nasty. Yeah. And,
well, now it's Biz Nasty 2.0 because he was kicked off Twitter for a bit. He's
a party guy.
Yeah, every hockey fan who's followed the game for a while is.
I was afraid you were going to say that they murdered him and his clone was now on Twitter. Biz Nasty 2.0.
I also thought the two hockey players from Letterkenny, I'm struggling to find their names, but Letterkenny is a great independent Canadian show. It's got these two...
Letterkenny.
It's a show, it's a small town satire, it's kind of like Trailer Park Boys, but somehow raunchier and more inappropriate.
More inappropriate than Trailer Park Boys?
Oh yeah, it's just the... If you like insult comedy, you will be laughing your ass off at Letterkenny. It's a hilarious show, and there's a pair of hockey players who are just every hockey player stereotype rolled into one, and I feel like those two actors could bring their talents to Slapshot, the new Slapshot, and make a lot of hockey fans feel all warm.
Wait, but weren't there three Hansen brothers?
Yes.
Yeah.
So, but you got two people. That's okay. In this recast, there can be two.
I mean, they could be just supporting.
There could be twins.
They're not as
triplets.
They're not goons on the show. Skill players.
Okay.
They also care a lot about the scoring and the sellies.
So that's one thing that I noticed in my hockey jargon research is that I didn't come across a term for a really good player, like somebody who would be like an ace or something like that. Like, do you know of a slang term for like...
A player who plays a lot of the game, you might call him a horse because he's out there working like a horse. But that's usually more reserved for... like defensive players, like guys who are out there for half the game, matching up against the best guys on the other team.
So, like, what about the type of player like Rob Lowe in Youngblood, who's very athletic and very skilled on the ice, but doesn't have a lot of that physicality? Is there a term for somebody like that?
Well, the way that hockey's been evolving over the past years, the players like that who don't fight are almost... all that's left.
They're the norm now.
They're just called a hockey player.
Yeah, there's very little room left for the enforcer role.
Gotcha.
Yeah, it's all about speed now.
Like the subtitle of the movie Goon 2, Last of the Enforcers.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. That was a hockey movie reference.
You did good, buddy.
Yeah.
I'm real proud of you.
All right, so are we good on discussing Slapshot?
Yeah.
And we're going to move it along to the wild card. Ooh. I was super happy because this week I got to pick the wild card. Sean and Andrew picked the two movies for the recast, the main two movies. And I picked a film from 1981. It was declared by the International Ice Hockey Federation at their centennial celebration as the story of, excuse me, the best story of international hockey in the past 100 years. And the story, of course, is the story of the Miracle on Ice, the 1980 U.S. Olympic team who defeated the heavily favored Soviet team and went on to win the gold. The Soviets had won the previous 7 Olympics in hockey. So
Red Army.
Right, called. Right. Yep. And there's a documentary about them called Red Army. Mm-hmm. I need to watch that. So this movie was made for TV. They later did a theatrical adaptation of the story called Miracle, right? This movie is called Miracle on Ice from 1981. It was directed by Stephen Hilliard Stern, and it has no rating on Rotten Tomatoes. I wrote not applicable, but it does have a 6.8 out of 10 on IMDb. So we could roughly translate that to a 68%. There's 3 roles that we're going to recast. The first one is Coach Herb Brooks. It was portrayed by Carl Malden. We've also got Jim Craig, who was portrayed by Steve Guttenberg, the Goots. And then also a guy whose last name I can't pronounce. So
Mike Arruzzioni. The captain.
The captain, who was originally portrayed by Andrew Stevens. And another reason that I am super happy to be the one picking the wild card this week is because I don't have to recast it. That's on you guys. Who went last in movie number 2?
I believe I did.
You went last?
I went second last prior to that.
Okay, so that means that Sean, you're going first as Herb Brooks, the coach from Miracle on Ice, 1981, made for TV. Carl Malden, of course, was in On the Waterfront, a movie that we discussed in the Mafia movies episode. That was the wild card, right?
It was.
And then he was also in a movie called Patton with George C. Scott. And then he was also in Streetcar Named Desire with Marlon Brando. And so, Sean, who have you got as Coach Herb Brooks?
Well, Herbie was about 43 when the Miracle on Ice.
He was already past his going bananas stage.
Yeah. He was way, way past bananas.
Mm-hmm. He's more of a love bug at this point.
So I picked somebody age appropriate. Somebody who I don't associate with, you know, older roles, but I guess he's been doing some stuff on television. Everyone knows him as Ted Mosby from How I Met Your Mother.
Oh,
Josh Radnor is his name, and I just think that he's a Midwestern guy. He's born in Columbus, Ohio. Uh-huh. You know, Herb Brooks was Mr. USA Hockey, more Minnesota, but I think that it'd be neat to see him do that. It'd be an older role for him.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now I'm correct that Herb Brooks is the coach, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yes. So the character from How I Met Your Mother, is this the main character?
The main character
who's explaining to his children how he met their mother?
Yeah, this guy.
That guy. Okay. All right. So he's definitely going to have to play older.
Well, he's playing to age, actually. But I think a lot of people just have this association with him from How I Met Your Mother, which he was in his 20s and 30s in the show. But now he's in his early 40s. It's
okay.
Time to play a big boy role.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm. All right. So Coach Herb Brooks is, this is going over to, we're going to pass the puck. We're going to pass the biscuit over to Andrew.
So normally I pick the wild cards and I didn't realize how hard it is to come up with actors on
suddenly
the spot.
Yes.
Yeah, so I went big. I did not pick an American, but I did pick Christian Bale.
Oh yeah,
I thought about that.
Standing up on the bench, being a hard ass, making him skate Herbies in the. I think you can't beat Kurt Russell. I think Kurt Russell did such an amazing job.
He did a fantastic job.
Also, his son, Wyatt Russell, was a professional hockey player, recently turned actor because he had to quit professional hockey due to an injury.
He's in Goon, isn't he?
He's in Goon, too.
Okay,
yes.
Right. Yeah, I just think, I mean, you want someone with a lot of kind of gravitas to play Herb Brooks, and I think Christian Bale could rise to the occasion for that role.
Mm-hmm. All right, as the on-ice official, I'm giving this one to Andrew. All right, moving it along. The role of Jim Craig, portrayed by Steve Guttenberg. Who we got, Andrew?
I went with, you'll soon be very familiar with him as Han Solo.
Oh, yeah.
Boy, how do I say this? Alden Ehrenreich? Ehrenreich?
It's yeah, I don't think I don't think that's right.
Oh no.
Alden Ehrenreich.
Let me pull up my
Yeah, but he is going to play young Han Solo in the new standalone Solo, a Star Wars story. Ehrenreich.
There we go.
Alden Ehrenreich.
Yeah.
He also was in
Hail
Caesar as the young actor.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful Creatures is his other top credit.
Yeah. Okay. And so he is your pick for Jim Craig. Tell us a little bit about the actual Jim Craig.
He was a goalie.
Okay.
He played every minute of the Olympic tournament. All of the Team USA players were college players.
Uh-huh.
And there was a pretty fierce rivalry between, I believe it was the Minnesota contingent and the Boston contingent.
Ah, okay.
What, two of these like big-time rivals had players on the team together. And like in their first practice, there was a fight, as you see in Miracle.
Did anybody chirp at their opponents?
I believe they did.
There was some chirping going on, wasn't there?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Okay. So I like it. I like your pick. And wait, no. Did you give me your pick?
I did. We had some trouble getting it out.
That's right. All right. Sean, what do you got?
All right. My guy, I'm going to say that he should probably scruff it up a little bit, but I think it would be a welcome change to his clean cut image that you get on his most known role. Tom Holland. I haven't used him before.
Tomas Holland?
Tomas Holland.
Okay.
Everybody knows him from Spider-Man Homecoming, but he's got that... I know he's not American, but I think that...
Wait, is he not?
No, he's born in...
He's born in Holland?
No, he's born in England.
Okay.
No, not Holland, sorry. That would be cool, though.
Yeah.
But no.
And then he would pronounce it Holland.
No, Jimmy Craig was just a stoic kind of guy, between the pipes.
If our younger listeners don't know, Steve Gutenberg probably cut his teeth with the Police Academy movies.
Yeah, I don't get Steve Gutenberg.
And
in
then
that
also
role.
Three Men and a Baby. He was one of the three men in Three Men and a Baby. You're not a fan of the Goots.
Well, I like Steve Gutenberg fine. It's just for the Jim Craig role, I don't get it, but that's fine. I haven't seen the movie, so I can't judge.
Understood. All right, so final role for the wild card is the role of...
Mike Arruzzioni. Very good.
Yeah. Mike Arruzzioni. I just have to say it as one word. Mike Arruzzioni, who was portrayed by Andrew Stevens. Andrew Stevens. Who have you guys got for Mike Arruzzioni?
I'll go. The cool thing about Mike Arruzzioni is that he was never meant to be that great of a player. He had a lot of disadvantage to a lot of the players on his team, but he had all the heart, and that's why it's such a flag-waving kind of story. He really rallied the troops and was their leader, despite any kind of athletic shortcoming he might have had. So I went with a guy that has been in The Fosters. He has also had small roles on...
He likes Australian beer.
Yes, loves it. And he's been on Shameless and Faking It. And his name is Elliot Fletcher.
All of his titles, his credits, sound like attributes of a dysfunctional family.
Totally, yeah.
The Fosters, Shameless, and what was the third one?
Faking It.
Faking It. The Fosters, Shameless, and Faking It. Yeah, there's some emotional baggage there. All right, and does that wrap us up for the wild card?
Andrew's got his.
Go for it.
My pick is, I'm going to probably overpronounce his name.
Do
Max Thierryo.
Thierryo.
He's on Bates Motel. I'm
sorry. Okay, so the Psycho TV series that's so popular right now.
Yeah. Is he the Norman Bates character?
I think so. He's,
cool.
He's one of the major characters on the show.
Okay.
He's been on it for the whole run. And he's Dylan Massett on the show. I don't know if that means anything to y'all.
Well, that's not Norman Bates. Maximilian Drake Max Thierryo.
Sure.
Thierryo.
Yeah.
Is he Canadian? No, he's an American actor. But the last name is, it sounds kind of French Canadian.
I'm overpronouncing it, as I said. And he kind of has the same kind of look, I think.
Yeah.
If he dyed his hair, he would.
He's got a real Ryan Philippe thing going on.
Yeah.
I like it.
So I'm looking over his credits. I don't think I've seen a lot of these, but I mean, it's the blind pick for the wild card.
Yep,
so
yep, indeed.
Rest with that.
And I also forgot that I was declaring a winner on each roll, so
well,
we're gonna skip over that. I think you guys are both winners.
I think Andrew wins.
We're calling it a tie, a draw. What do they call it in hockey?
Can you? Ties.
You can't. Okay, oh, they have shootouts.
We're gonna go to shootout, and I'm gonna shoot him.
All right. Actually, if you want to do a shootout, do you want to have one last question? Or trivia?
Go for it.
All right, so we got one last question. This is one that I haven't mentioned yet. Who is the only player to average over 2 assists per game in a single NHL season?
Wayne Gretzky.
Boom!
The Canadian in your brain again.
The Canadian in your brain again. That is wonderful. I love it. That was a really fun episode, you guys. And I do appreciate you guys kind of taking the lead on this one and giving me a little bit of room to breathe, especially because I'm not as well versed with the sport of hockey as I am with, say, movies or the sport of basketball. I'm big on basketball. We should probably do a basketball movie sometime.
Yeah.
Maybe around like NBA finals.
March for
March Madness. See, I'm more of an NBA guy, but we could do that too. We could talk about all kinds of stuff. Speaking of upcoming episodes, our next episode, next weekend, in honor of Veterans Day, we're going to be doing war movies.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got a couple of really good ones picked out. I've already put them on the calendar. I don't know if you've seen them. I'm not gonna say them yet, but they're both officially and legitimately classic films.
All right.
Yeah, so that we're going to go ahead and wrap it up. We want to thank our guests, our first-time guest on the show,
yes.
Andrew Tay, is in the house. And do you have anything you want to plug?
I do, in fact.
What do you want to plug?
Well, as a lot of y'all know, it's November,
mm-hmm.
and November is kind of become known as Men's Health Month.
Uh-huh.
The
No Shave November.
Yeah.
Or Movember.
Movember, yeah. We're like raising money by growing mustaches. Mm-hmm. So just... For the gentleman out there, just
and it's to raise awareness for like male cancers, prostate cancer, and things like that.
So, like, gentlemen, next time you're taking a shower or you're down there, give your boys a check, feel them for lumps,
the old twig and berries.
Yeah,
make sure there's not any unusual knots. You know, just feel yourself up every once in a while and make sure that everything's on the level. All right. So, anything else? You good?
Yeah.
All right. Cool. And then also thanking again for being back on the show, the Brew Boss, Sean. Do you have anything that you want to plug?
As always, seminarbrewing.com. We have a canning release on November 11th, which is next Saturday. We'll be releasing our New England style IPA Pixels. So if you're interested in that and you're able to come by, we'll be here from 2 to 6 at the brewery. With entertainment in the beer garden.
Wonderful. And that's on 11/11/17, right?
Yes.
That's an upcoming date that is after this will air or will drop. You know,
yeah.
So that's after this will be posted. So it's actually something that we're mentioning that listeners could actually go and enjoy, which is pretty cool. Yeah, we're getting it together, you guys. I want to plug the podcast itself again. Please remember, if you're listening to this, go on iTunes or on your app and rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast. And remember, we're on Twitter. We're at Cinema Chop Shop. We're on Facebook. It's facebook.com/cinemachopshop. And then our email address is cinemachopshop@gmail.com. I also, as always, want to thank our engineer, our producer extraordinaire, the editor, the Canadian in your brain again. And he kind of dominated on the ice today. Pretty solid showing from the young blood.
Yeah,
it's Andrew. It's Andrew Tay. Wait, what was that, Corsi?
Yeah, it's one of those fancy, newfangled advanced stats.
Oh, so it's a real silky stat.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. Well, we have a Department of Corrections department, and maybe our local listeners will learn some hockey terminology. Speaking of listeners, I want to thank you, the listeners, for listening to the show. And remember, as always, please watch, chop, retrofit.